The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Again, welcome to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on your radio dial. You can also access this show and all the others on WCWP Radio, which is a great app and really allows you to access all programming on WCWP.org. So today, Project Independence and You, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest, Congresswoman Kathleen Rice. And co-host today is, of course, Otto Loos. How are you doing, Otto?
Good, good, good. Glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you. You've been the co-host for the radio show for 7 months straight now. So
yeah, of course. It's been fun. It's been fun.
It really has, you know, doing it from our living rooms and wherever we happen to be, sometimes at the office. But it's just great that we can all get together and continue with the radio show and all the other programs that we've been able to do with Project Independence, whether it's virtual or, you know, hands-on. So again, we have U.S. Congresswoman Kathleen Rice. And Kathleen, we're so excited to have you on the program today. And, you know, really looking forward to hearing about, of course, what's happening, what we need to look forward to in terms of, you know, the assistance that we need with coronavirus and some of the things that are coming up, you know, in the next few months. So how are you doing through coronavirus, this whole episode?
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be with you and Otto today. You know, I'm surviving just like everyone else. This has been such an incredibly difficult time. There aren't many people alive today who have lived through a pandemic. And New York was, you know, hit pretty hard in the beginning. We were really ground zero for the virus as early as March, which seems like a lifetime ago. So we had to really come up to speed very quickly with, I could say, the best way I could put it, with inconsistent support from the federal government. But I, you know, I'd be happy to talk about the things that we did in Congress and the bills that we passed to help counties and states like New York. Every single state was hit hard with this pandemic, every single one. And we're going to be feeling the pain from this from COVID-19 for a long, long time. You know, I've spent the last, since March, and when we were in lockdown, spending a lot of time helping small businesses navigate their way through the Paycheck Protection Program, which was a federal lifeline to help small businesses, which are the backbone of my entire community and certainly all of Long Island, to try to help these small businesses stay alive, to help them be able to keep their employees tethered to their paychecks and their health care. And we also reached out and tried to help all the people who were out of work through no fault of their own. And we were, the government, federal government, provided an enhanced unemployment insurance of $600 a week, but that ran out in July and people are still really hurting and don't know when they're going to be able to get back to work. And of course, we had to do everything that we could to support our hospital system and our first responders and our frontline healthcare workers who were so heavily impacted and, you know, ran towards the virus instead of running away from it. And we had to do everything that we can to support them as well. So that's kind of where we are. You know, New York is right now pretty much in a reopened phase, although the governor announced a couple of days ago that there are some new hotspots in the state that are requiring him to shut down some schools and businesses for a short time so we can continue to keep the virus under control.
Yeah. Yeah,
one of the questions I have is I read and hear quite a bit about how small businesses are helped. It seems like there's a lot of different plans out there, to me at least. What would you suggest if you were a small business? What's the best way to find out what it is that might be beneficial to you? You know, how can you sort of cut through the possible confusion? You know, what's the best way to do that?
That's a great question, Otto. I from the beginning of this pandemic, I had weekly calls with all of the small business owners in my district so that I could help them navigate the Paycheck Protection Program, which was a way to inject money into small businesses so that they could keep their employees on their payroll, so that they could pay rent, utilities, and help them, you know, because their revenue went to zero basically overnight. And so that money, we were able to help hundreds of businesses in the district access that money. But now the program is shut down now. So we need to have another relief package to inject more money into the small business world, because the good thing about the Paycheck Protection Program was that the money, while in the beginning it might have been considered a loan, if you used it to pay for certain things like keeping your employees on the payroll and you used it to pay rent and utilities, 100% of it would turn into a grant that businesses did not have to pay back. Mm-hmm. But that's the issue, Otto, is not impoverishing these businesses, not forcing them to take out loans that they're going to have to pay back. It's going to take them a while to get up to 100% productivity and revenue. So I'm hopeful that we passed the HEROES Act in the House that would extend that financial help to small businesses, because they need it desperately. And I'm hoping, you know, there's talk right now, the president first a couple of days ago said, no way, we're not going to do another relief bill. And recently, as early as yesterday, he said, no, we're talking about it. So I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to do it. The Democrats in the House, we did our part. We passed the HEROES Act. And now we're just waiting to see if Steve Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury, and the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, can work it out. And hopefully the president will sign whatever bill we're able to come up with.
Wow. Critical.
Critical.
Yeah, very critical. I mean, I know a lot of horror stories, and you know a lot more than we do, but places that have just basically opened up, like the day that March 16th, like near St. Patrick's Day, and they open up a business and all of a sudden they can't do anything. They've invested several years in getting the business going and money, and all of a sudden there's no customer base. There's nobody coming in.
Otto, and you make a good point. There are certain businesses, especially in the service industry, which are a lot of the businesses in our district and on Long Island, that are they ever going to be able to open up again? I mean, you see the restaurant business. I mean, now they can have 50% capacity indoors and they can continue to do outdoor dining. But how long can that last? And how long can you keep a business going when you can't, because of the Department of Health's mandate, where you can't have 100% capacity in your establishment? It's very, very difficult. And to say nothing of like movie theaters and bowling alleys and gyms and places like that.
And, you know, even you have your musical entertainment, where the venues where they kind of, you know, didn't really serve food, but they just had venues for bands and music, you know, any kinds of entertainment. And, you know, they had to come up with plan B. A lot of them are closing down. So, you know, they had to come up with a way to serve food so that is, you know, they can also have people come there. And, entertainment is, you know, very different, where you might have had a large band. Now you might have two on stage and they're kind of separated. So it's really hit that industry, you know, as well.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Regal, the movie chain, just said not too long ago that they were closing all their theaters right now. And if you think about that, the space, the property that these large theaters take up, you know, if they were all of a sudden shut down, you would wind up with an awful lot of empty property.
Absolutely.
With defunct businesses that are never going to come back.
Right, right.
And they need help. That's the only way they're going to get through it.
Yeah. You're right.
you know, it sounds so bleak, but, you know, we are learning, you know, just like we talk a lot about what we all learned from Sandy, you know, and how we are able to put plans in place and, you know, realize to be, you know, especially because, you know, we're a senior program and seniors that depend on oxygen and making sure that PSEG is there and that families are around and they're, you know, they have a to-go pack, all their meds are available, you know, so there's so many things that we learned from Sandy, that, you know, we're ahead of the game now with things with hurricanes. You know, we know, you know, don't watch the weather for 2 weeks before you start planning. If you see there's something coming our way, start right away, your planning, yes, putting that all in action, you know, with Project Independence, you know, we've been extremely proactive and really kind of, you know, saying, okay, a second wave, you know, may not be imminent, but what are the things that we learned in the beginning? What are the things that we, you know, were shocked, you know, like by the end of March, everybody was frantic. You couldn't find toilet paper. You couldn't find paper towel. You couldn't find these, you know, things. So really, you know, we put forth a checklist for our seniors with those types of items, you know, and also to plan now for, you know, the winter weather. Because if there is a second wave, you know, you have to have, you know, get your salt, get your ice melt now, just start, you know, start preparing. So, you know, that being said, I'm sure that is on all of your minds, you know, too, to, you know, and kind of, I'd love to hear about what, you know, what you're thinking in terms of, you know, if there's a second wave, how can we get ahead of it? You know, and help everybody.
You know, it's that's a really good question, Rebecca. And right now, you know, I wish that we could be talking about, well, is there going to be a second wave? But across the country, there are still states that are going through the first wave impact right now. Hospitalizations are going up in a number of states across the country. Thankfully, not in New York, but they're going up. We have not been able to get this virus under control. So what steps can we take? Well, we are doing everything that we can to make sure that our hospital, the foundation of our healthcare system, our hospitals are strong and have all of the PPE, the personal protective equipment that they need, that we support Northwell, which is really the nucleus of our medical response to this virus in terms of testing and contact tracing and isolation. But also one thing that we've been doing through the bills that we've passed in Washington is to make sure that we have, we invest in our federal nutrition programs, for instance, SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, critically important for the federal government to inject as much money as possible into programs like that, because we know that we have more food insecure families now than ever since probably the Great Depression. So we have to, and this is another reason why we are fighting so hard to get a relief bill, right, that will allow inject federal relief money to state and local governments. Because
let's pick it up there, because we actually have to take a quick break. 14 minutes went by really fast. We will be back with Congresswoman Kathleen Rice, WCWP.org.